demanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday, February 7th. Welcome to the show. It's our second day back.
Right?
Yeah. I was so stoked yesterday. I was like totally energized. And I still am, you know, from the strip and stuff. I got a lot of rest, you know.
Well, so that's good.
I know.
I'm out of it. When am I ever together, though?
Yeah. You've been busy?
Yeah. I'm just swamped with a bunch of different things. And then, like I said, it's a whole new thing. I have like different household people now. Like I cleaned everyone out and got new people in. So it's like hard managing this. And I'm leaving tomorrow. Yeah. So I'm like, my God, I'm like managing this house, and the one roommate hasn't moved in yet, and it's like, I have to make sure everything's good before I leave, and I have to make sure they know how to do everything, and like, I don't know, I'm just being ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
well, don't worry about it. It'll work out. I'm sure your judgment
is good. It always does.
Your roommate's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
so a couple have moved in already?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay, cool.
No, they're cool. It's great. And then it's also like Grammy weekend, and then Oscars are coming up, and then
that's true.
My own personal stuff.
So you're busy picking up gifts and stuff.
Getting swag. Why not? It's the only reason that I don't even, you know, I haven't even watched a lot of the movies. I just don't care. It's like, give me the swag. Give me the swag. I just
exactly.
want the free shit.
Yeah.
You know, but
don't
it's not
care
like,
about that.
But it's not like I don't talk about it. You know, it was really cool, actually. So yesterday I went to the gym. And afterwards, I went to DSW because, you know, this is dangerous. It is. They do it on purpose. You know they do. And it's genius. Mm-hmm. So when you have, like, you know, a shopping center, for example, and then, like, you go to LA Fitness is where I go. So I go to LA Fitness, and I walk outside, and there's DSW shoes calling my name, saying, come inside, please, come inside. So I do, and it's like I needed new tennis shoes, so I went inside. And, of course, they always have a sale. And then it's great because they give you, like, these points for, like, free shoes and whatnot. So I had money to spend there.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I walked out with a pair of shoes. But this happens quite often.
Women love
it's
shoes.
It's dangerous. You have an athletic shoe store, all kinds of shoes in general.
Yeah.
Where LA Fitness. Are you kidding? I walk out and I'm like, I feel good about, you know, you feel good about yourself when you go work out. Your adrenaline's up and you're like, I can buy something new now.
That's funny because out here they have LA Fitness and DSW next door to each other, too. Out here in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Galleria. The same thing.
It's like this thing.
They're probably
like,
following each other or something.
Well, it's genius. It's working. Anyway, I tweeted about it. I tweeted about DSW shoes, and DSW retweeted my tweets.
Really?
So now I have all these people following me from the DSW. It's really funny. I love when that happens, though. See? And now I'm like, well, now what are you going to do for me? Because I feel like I tweeted for you. You retweeted me. It was that good.
Exactly.
So, therefore, give me some more free shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Whoa, that's funny, man.
I know, I'm ridiculous.
So you got yourself some shoes?
I did.
What was it, like tennis shoes or nice shoes?
No, tennis shoes. Yeah. They're really cute.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you earned points and stuff while you...
Every time you buy a pair of shoes there, you get points for the amount of money you spend. And, okay, so I was a Premier member, which is like, you know, you spend, I don't know how much money, but whatever. And so then you get double points.
Yeah.
And so, like, double points means, like, $5 certificates, $10 certificates, $25, $30. It's like,
wow.
I collect them.
Uh-huh.
And I get them for my birthday, too. They send you $10. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Good. Well,
I
the
know.
Marketing is working.
It's like, why shop at any other shoe store?
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to go there and I'm going to get points for it, then I might as well keep shopping there.
Yeah.
So it's a great, like, ploy.
Yeah.
It's great marketing.
Great idea.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, okay, by the way, which when I was in the gym yesterday and I was running and I did see about how those people were raped, it wasn't, and I was right. I said there's no way that it was an actual, like, Marriott or Ritz-Carlton. It wasn't a resort. It had to have been a house because it would have been protected. Like I was saying, like, don't go unless you're protected by a big resort because then, you know, there's nothing. Exactly. It was a house.
Really?
Not saying
they were just renting out a house.
They're renting out a house. And not saying, like, if you're going to go to Mexico right now where everyone's saying stay away, go to a resort. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying, like.
But why would you want to? I mean, you know, that's the thing.
But I'm not condoning, like, saying, oh, well, you stayed in the house. That's what you get. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like, don't take that way. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that if you didn't go and protect yourself, knowing all this shit was going on, and you didn't stay at a resort that was protected.
Right.
But you know what was crazy is they had men there. There were seven women that were raped. But the men, they were tied up with their own bikini, the women's bikinis, and held at gunpoint while the men
took
turns.
Can you imagine? I mean, how horrible, huh?
I cannot believe that.
Yeah.
I think that's just ridiculous. But yeah, you didn't tell me the whole story.
Well, I didn't know
it. I was just like going off on this whole like, well, and anyway.
I didn't know it. I don't know.
Yeah, but I was right.
Yeah.
I just like rubbing in that I'm right.
I guess you are brilliant.
I know.
Yeah. There's an ex-cop loose in L.A. shooting up other cops and their family.
I'm sorry. I'm only laughing because of what happened yesterday. And you're like, oh, well, there's a guard that had sex with a cop killer, and then here a cop is actually going.
That's true. We were talking
killing.
About that.
So
yeah.
I just find it ironic. Okay. Anyway, I didn't
just
laugh
thought it was
at
interesting.
It. I was laughing at the irony of it.
Yeah, it is ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway,
well, we've got a full show today.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you had one more thing to say?
No, keep going.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to hear more about it.
We have... No, we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I just wanted to bring it up for some reason.
Okay.
So we have a full show. We have a very special guest in the studio, and then there's another guest going to call in a few minutes just for... to fill us in on something that Brigetta knows about.
Oh, no, about skiing in Breckenridge and what it's like in Breckenridge area in Colorado. Because I'm actually off there tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
So excited. And I'm going to
Breckenridge, is that what it's called?
Breckenridge,
oh,
yeah.
Breckenridge.
I'm going to Breckenridge Vale, and I'm going to Julia Watkins Gallery, Art Gallery. And I'm doing the seminar for the Reconnection, so.
Wow, you're going to be busy.
Busy, packed full week.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have Marla Martinson in the studio. Welcome to the show, Marla.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for being here.
And I shop at DSW, too. My boots that I'm wearing now are DSW.
Isn't it great, though?
I love it.
Yes. It's like this whole, like,
shoes,
you in.
Yeah.
I need another pair of higher black boots, so I'm going to be going there. Maybe today on my
you
way
should.
Home.
Yeah.
It's down the street.
Make sure you tweet about it.
Yeah, I'll tweet about it. I'll tweet that you told me about it.
Okay, yay.
We're going to explode Twitter with DSW.
I know, we should.
Yeah.
It's great. I love when they reply back. I think
maybe
it's awesome.
They'll hire us as their official spokeswoman.
I think they should.
Well, they better now. I mean, we advertise them to death this morning.
Yeah. And ladies, when you go on dates, wear your DSW shoes.
Exactly.
Okay, hold on. Well, I guess before we just get started, the other guest is calling, so we'll give her a few minutes, and then we'll get to Marla. So, good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, it's Kristen from Breckenridge Ski Resort.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the show. So,
thank you. And actually, my name is Kristen Stewart, so don't get me confused with any Twilight.
Oh, my God, that is so funny. Are you a fan of Twilight?
No, I'm not. But as soon as I changed my name, it's my married name, to Twitter. On Twitter, I picked up like 500 followers.
Wow.
Like,
you know what, though? I would just go with it and like keep them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just keep tweeting stuff about Breckenridge.
I've got long hair and blue eyes and like... you know, curves.
Yeah.
So I'm like totally opposite of her, and they see my picture, but they still follow me, so I'll take it.
So funny. Totally take it. Totally take it.
Yeah.
It's good marketing. Why not? You're like,
I know, right? It's kind of hysterical. Because I'm everything she's not, so it's hard to mistake me.
You're just going to be like, Kristen Stewart says, everybody come to Breckenridge. Yeah, use it to your advantage. Why not?
I love Jacob. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of for the other team. Go Team Edward.
Anyway, Breckenridge.
Yeah, Breckenridge.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, that's a resort, right?
Well, it's Breckenridge. Well, we'll let her tell about it, but it's a town in Colorado, and they've got all kinds of stuff to do for skiing, and they've got resorts and all kinds of stuff. So let's have her tell us about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, we are one of the we're in the Vail Resorts family, so we are one of the seven resorts that Vail Resorts owns and operated. There are four here in Colorado: Vail, Beaver Creek, Breckenridge, and Keystone. And of all of those, the thing that differentiates us is that our ski area is in the middle of a 150-year-old historic town. It's kind of like everything you think Colorado would be like. Mm-hmm. We've got the swinging door saloon that's been around for 150 years, mm-hmm. but we also have a really state-of-the-art ski area here as well.
That's awesome. Sounds I love. Good. I went to Breckenridge years ago, and I uh-huh. loved it.
Yeah.
It's such a cute little town. There really is so much to do.
So it's like yeah. an area with little towns and stuff?
Like... Yeah, like little bars, and like it's very like, it is very like homey in a sense, even
yeah.
though you don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's yeah. thing, the impression most people get when they come here is they're like, oh, this is a real town. Like, you know, a lot of our businesses on Main Street, which is the heart of town, are locally owned, and we have a thriving bar scene and business community and restaurant scene, and they really are all local. So it has a great spirit about it. I think since the town was founded in the 1800s, it's always been about people coming to kind of chart their own course and make a life for themselves here. So the skiing is just kind of the cherry on the top there.
Wow, so, that's pretty cool. Now, did you, so I would imagine you probably moved there. You probably weren't born there, right?
Right. I'm born and bred Oklahoma girl.
Oh, okay.
And my mother actually is an L.A. girl, fifth generation L.A. girl, but I unfortunately was born and raised in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So how did you end up in Colorado there?
Yeah, I moved to Colorado because it's for the lifestyle and the sunshine. We get about 300 days of sunshine here, and it's really a beautiful place. It doesn't ever get very hot here, which mm-hmm. if you grew up in Oklahoma, there's some hot, humid days. But
yeah.
And then I learned to ski as a young girl and just fell in love with it. So I took kind of a circuitous route to get here, and now I'm handling the PR for the ski resort. But my passion is skiing in this community.
That's oh, I awesome. See. Okay, so you're in your element now. That's where you want to be.
Yes, except I'm getting a little old. I just learned to snowboard at age 35, and I decided that maybe my hips can't do that.
You know what? That is not old. I am 34, and I was thinking of learning to snowboard next
35
week.
35 is old? Come on.
I know.
Well, Bridget, your abs are definitely different than mine, so seeing down is going to be a little easier for you.
I don't know. I'm kind of klutzy. We'll see what happens.
But no, we just got snow overnight, and, you know, kind of a slow start to the ski season this year with snow, but we're right in the heart of, you know, two of our snowiest months, so... We're about 99% open. The last piece for us is a high alpine terrain called Snow White, which will open over the weekend.
Awesome.
And then we'll be 100% open. But, you know, we've got a lot of ski season left. We're here till April 14th. We've got some festivals coming up and, of course, spring break.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah, so there's still opportunity to get out here this season.
That's awesome. Now, how many slopes, I mean, how many lifts do you guys have and how many trails? And is it kind of like geared towards, you know, like all levels of skiing, or is there more blue, is there more blacks, like how, and also tell about the snowboard park.
Yeah, so you hate to say that you've got something for everyone, but we kind of are that resort. So about a third of our mountain is above tree line and is expert terrain. We've got a large chunk that's intermediate, and then we've got this great area called Peak 9, which is where we've got some amazing beginner terrain. So, you know, I'd say the majority of our mountain is intermediate, but mm-hmm. a third of it is expert or advanced. So it's a great mountain for progressing your skills on. Mm-hmm. And it's not, Vail is about twice the size of Breckenridge. Mm-hmm. We have about 30 lifts and 170 trails, I don't know, but 2,300 acres. So we're smaller than Vail. Our mountains go across instead of back. Mm-hmm. So there's a view of town from every point on the mountain.
That is so awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I will say one thing that I did get to do is, because I am that girl, I went on the snowboard park with my skis. Everyone's looking at me like, what the hell is this chick doing? Yeah, I'm like doing rails on my skis and everything. It was awesome. Uh-huh. And then there was like this little area through the trees. I think it's like for your ski school. Yeah, I did that too. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still there.
Our terrain park here is one of the best in the world. And you're not alone now because we have all kinds of skiing that happens in our terrain parks. In fact, the Olympics, which starts a year from yesterday in Sochi, that it'll be the first time that slope-style skiing is offered as an Olympic sport.
Awesome.
And a lot of those folks train here. A lot of those athletes are actually ride for the Breck Pro Team. Bobby Brown, Carrie Herman, they were just on the Today Show yesterday. So, you know, the free skiing movement is alive and well, along with the history of our snowboarding here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, where can people find more information on that?
Well, Breckenridge.com, of course.
Okay.
We also love to interact with our community on Facebook and Twitter. So if you go to Breckenridge.com, you can see how to connect with us that way. And yeah, we've got some great spring break deals still out there and plenty of snow and sunshine.
Wow, sounds great awesome. To me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds like paradise, you know?
I'm going there.
We had one of our athletes describe it. We've got a great pro team, like I said. It's her little snow globe, she says. It's her little perfect snow globe.
Aww.
And, you know, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but I believe that's exactly what it is and why so many people from around the world come here.
Oh, awesome. Amazing. Okay, well, Kristen, well, thank you so much.
I know, and I can't wait to be there and tweet pics left and right about it and rub it into everyone. So
yeah.
And then you can tell everybody that they can hang out with Kristen Stewart while they're here.
Exactly, because I just tweeted that, by the way. Anyway.
All right. Alrighty. Well, Breckenridge.com, everybody go check it out. And thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'll see you soon.
All right, okay. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Cool.
All right. Well, sounds good to me. You're going to have a lot of fun.
I know. I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I'm doing Breckenridge, Vail. Julia Watkins is my favorite artist. Told you about her, the energy artist.
Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing.
So you're going to meet her? Oh, you're going
to
go to
her gallery.
Yeah, I get
to actually go and meet her. I'm going to her gallery. I'm going to meet her there. Because she did the most amazing painting mm-hmm. for my guy for Christmas.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I have one made for him, and it was incredible. We just got it like a week
She's
ago.
She's so connected, you know? I mean, you're just like all over the place. Anyway, let's get back to Marla. So yeah. Marla Martinson, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to Boulder next Friday.
Oh,
Colorado.
Yay.
So
really?
I love
wow.
Colorado.
Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
You see,
we've got so much in common. I'm going to wear my DSW boots there.
Yeah, there you go.
Hilarious.
Are you into skiing too? Have you?
I've never skied. Can you believe it? I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, and people are always. But my family didn't ski. Nobody I knew skied, so it's just. But we lived on a hill as a kid, and it used to snow then when I was a kid. It doesn't snow really anymore mm-hmm. in Seattle, mm. but it did then. And I used to go down on the sled every year, you know, with the friends in the
Those
neighborhood.
Are so fun, yeah.
So I did do snow and build snowmen and all that.
Sounds good. So it's not all summer up there at all by any means.
No, Seattle's not all summer. That's why my skin's still so fresh, you know.
Yeah.
And mine is not. Because by the way, did you see? I look like a tomato. I went tanning yesterday for the first time. I don't know how long. And I'm like, oh my God, I am a tomato.
Ooh, you are a little red.
Really bad.
And now you're going to be in the snow. It'll be worse.
It's fine. It'll pull off. It's good. Just in time to have my new lotions on. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Valentine's Day is coming up.
It's the month of love.
Month of love.
And so you're a matchmaker, you're an author, you're a speaker.
Yes.
And you have a website called cupidforhire.com.
Yeah, that's my matchmaking website. And then marlamartinson.com is my website for my books and mm-hmm. my blog and all of that.
So you're very busy, obviously.
Very busy, yeah.
Right.
I'm a Gemini, so I'm like, you know, like
you
three people like doing every, you know. My husband says, do you want to go to the moon too? I mean,
Might
I'll
as
see
well,
something,
right?
I'll say, oh, that looks really interesting. I think I'd like to be a hypnotherapist. Maybe, I think I'd like to be, you know, a raw food consultant. Or, you
so
know,
you're still trying to figure out what you want to do when you grow up.
I have so many interests, and it drives me crazy that I can't fit them all in.
I am the same way. I totally agree with you. And I'm not Gemini. I'm Sag, Cap. Uh-huh. But it's so funny. I don't know what it is. Mm. It's like I gotta do everything. So I totally relate.
I'm very curious, and I'm reading like 5 books at a time. And you know,
it's great because you can do it all.
I try. A lot of coffee.
Coffee is great too.
So you grew up in Seattle, and at what point did you decide you're gonna move? What happened?
Well, when I was growing up, I grew up in a suburb of Seattle, and I always wanted. Well, okay. So. Talk about being a Gemini. I mean, I must have come out of the womb tap dancing because I was just like always wanted to perform. So I started doing baton, you know, in the first grade. And then I was writing poetry and short stories in the third grade. And then I started tried to play the cello in the fourth grade. And then I started ballet lessons only to get to the tap because I wanted to be the fastest tap dancer in the world after I saw Ann Miller in a movie. Then I moved on to I wanted to be like Sherry Lewis, which is... You probably don't know who that is. She was a ventriloquist, Mammy Pie. So
I know
I said, I want it, Mom. I want to, and Dad. I want to be a ventriloquist. So they bought me a ventriloquist doll.
Never did
get the hang of talking without moving my lips. Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to be an actress. And so that was what I set my... I did try singing, too. Couldn't carry a tune. Tried playing the piano. Couldn't read the notes. So, but I was a pretty good little actress. So at 18, I split town and came down to Hollywood to be an actress. And and I did a lot of TV commercials, some print modeling, some little acting. But I ended up waiting on tables more than I acted.
Yeah, that's usually the case here, you know?
Yeah. So I was in the restaurant business a long time. Moved to Chicago for most of the 90s. Also did some acting in Chicago, loved it.
Why did you move to Chicago? What drew you there?
I was married to a French chef at the time, and he got an offer to open a restaurant and said, and I had just been attacked and almost murdered in my apartment in LA. God. Back in the 90s, it was very dangerous around the riots time and stuff. And when he said, hey, do you want to move to Chicago? I said, heck yeah.
So get me out of here.
We left,
wow.
And it was amazing. And then... well, the marriage broke up and things. But then I did move back on my... We came back to L.A. I ended up going back 10 months later on my own and lived like a Sex and the City lifestyle as a single girl.
Wow.
Downtown Chicago. Had a great time. And then moved back here in 2001 because my father was terminally ill. So I came back here. Aww. He was living in Southern California. And then I said... I was 39 and I said, I'm not going to be a 40-year-old waitress. That I didn't want to be a 30-year-old waitress. But kind of like that decade slipped by. And I said, I just can't put on... that apron again at not that there's anything wrong with you know, being waitresses out there, but it wasn't, I'd done it a long time and it wasn't my dream. It wasn't my I knew there was something more.
I don't think it's
me.
Anybody's dream to be a waiter,
but,
you know?
Some people make it as a career, but it was good for the time being. And then I met my now husband, and he had a friend who was taking over the management position at a video dating service back in 2002, and she said, hey Marla, if you want a job, you know, and I was still going on auditions and doing a little bit of acting. And I started working there, and it was so much fun. I loved helping people and connecting them and doing their videos. I felt like a movie director, and then from there I moved on to a high-level Beverly Hills matchmaking company. I was there for 7 years as the head matchmaker, and then 3.5 years ago I started my own company. So it's interesting, though, I see, back in the third grade I wanted to be a writer. Well, then in 2008 my first book came out, Excuse Me, Your Soulmate is Waiting, and I've written 4 books now.
That's awesome.
So I had to turn my... I couldn't act anymore because I needed to be on the job all the time for the matchmaking, but I had to be creative, so I started to be an author.
Yeah.
It's like I have to do something to get my creativity out there.
Right. So what drew you to the idea of being a matchmaker? I mean, how did that come about?
That was the fluke. I mean, I didn't want to wait on tables, and I got offered the job at the video dating. You know,
and then
I
you decided that you're going to stay in that.
People were like, Marla, you're so good at this. Why? This is great. And I'm a people person. And when I moved to the other place, it just became, I don't know, it was
just like
meant
caught
to
on.
Be. You know? Yeah, caught on. It was, I never, back then, 2002, there weren't very many matchmakers around.
Right.
Now it's like flooded, especially in LA. Everybody, I get emails from people. I got an email yesterday from a girl. She must have been a young woman in back east. Oh, my dream is to be a matchmaker. I'll even relocate if I can work for you. Work for your company. And you know, I'll train. I'll get a life coach certificate. You know, she's so cute. And I said, you know, I work alone. I'm a boutique company. I said, but keep in touch with me. Good luck.
Aww.
And then I said, first, read my memoir, Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker, and then let me know if you still want to do it. Because it's not easy.
It's
like
not.
People think, oh, it sounds so fun.
Yeah.
It is fun, but you also want to, you know, tear your hair out some days.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, I guess, a little bit about that then.
Well, it's challenging because when people come to you and they're paying you thousands of dollars to find them someone, they figure, well, I want everything on my list. You know?
Right. Yeah. I might as well get the perfect person.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, you know, I'm not, I don't have a laboratory like Dr. Frankenstein to build you a mate. You've got to be a little flexible. The men all want, you know, a Heidi Klum or Beyonce or something.
Of course.
And then the women want, you know, George Clooney with a private jet.
Exactly.
And, oh, I'll only date
very financially secure.
Secure and tall and, you know, this and that. Sometimes people will specify hair color, eye color, you know, cup size, breast size, all this.
So people are really like caught up in like body parts and stuff like that. Are women like that too?
Yeah, well, the women are caught up on height. You know, and then there's little things which they, you know, they like nice teeth, they like, you know, well groomed. They like things are important, like nice eyes or nice smile.
Because women sometimes see their mate as a reflection on them. Wouldn't you say that?
I think so.
Yeah, because, you know, women, that's why they feel they have to take care of the man. You know, it's like you can't go out looking like this or something like that. You know,
well,
it's not something that a man would say.
It's cute, though, sometimes. Yeah. You just walk out of the house and you're like, you're going to wear that? Okay. Well, it's kind of funny.
No, it is cool.
It's kind of cute.
It's interesting. An old neighbor of ours, we bought a house 2 years ago. We used to live in Hollywood. Now we live in the Valley. And we hadn't seen this guy in, maybe 3 years or something. And he's a friend for a long time. And, he was single and he was smoking and kind of scruffy and, you know, didn't eat very well and all that. And he wasn't looking very good. I was concerned about him. He came over and he has a girlfriend. He lives with her now for a couple of years and he looked fantastic.
Yeah, he looks totally different now.
He was dressed nice. His hair was colored. His skin tone was better. He was dressed, you know, he smelled good. I'm like, wow. I said, you're really looking good. He goes, well, I'm eating better. And So there are statistics that say married men live longer than single men.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because they need someone to take care of them, you know? I mean, that's the thing, you know?
But you're happy, too. Yeah. It's like a, you know, you got like a partner in crime.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
As long as they're not nagged to death. Like,
oh, my God.
We do have a 50% divorce rate or higher, but if it's good, you know, the men are. They're fed better. I'm into nutrition and health, and my husband's taken a lot more vitamins since he's been with me. Mm. I got him going back to the gym. I cook him really good. I juice, you know, for him.
Right.
So he gets all these vitamins. So he has lost about, he's always been slim, but he's lost about 10 pounds over the past year. And he's just looking really, really good. You know?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
If you do say so yourself.
But
right?
I love him no matter what he looks like.
Yeah.
I did pretty good work there.
Yeah. So now, why do you think we have such a high rate of divorce in this country?
Well, you know, it's sort of like, everything's kind of disposable and going on to the next thing and the bigger, better thing. Also, I don't think people really take a lot of thought in it. It's like a woman will say, oh, well, he's, you know, got a great job. He's wealthy. He's good looking. That's my guy. Well, have they looked into his character? Have they spoken about, do you want children? Are you in debt? What do you see? How do you save money for the future? All these little things that you've really got to think about and think about your life and what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of get caught up in the emotion. If you're younger, your hormones are leading the way. And it's
right.
Like, oh, my God. And it's people are so concerned about that chemistry, that sexual chemistry, that romantic chemistry, where that can fade.
Right.
A little bit, you know, it's never going to stay the same in the beginning. So you have to kind of go beyond. So that's why I say don't get married to anybody until you've been with them for a year, at least
a year.
You want to see them through all four of the seasons. You want to see how they are, see how they react in different situations. You want to see their friends. You want to meet their friends, their family. What are their values.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
I think people jump into it too quick. And divorce is so easy. So that you figure, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll get a divorce.
But no one has the same values like they used to, I don't think, anymore either. I think that's a lot of it.
No, and then they're having kids too quick, these young people too. And then that's a big mess when they get a divorce. I had seen so many men coming in to join the matchmaking service with a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, they just got divorced. They have a toddler. I think that's devastating.
Yeah.
I think that's awful.
It really is. But I think at the same time also, you know, people are more like liberated, women are more, and even men, you know, and I think people are not willing to settle for second best. You know, I think people realize if my marriage is not going the way I would like it to, then let's not waste our time. But you're saying you need to work on it more.
Well, I think we should work on it, but also I am grateful that we can get a divorce. Some countries you can't, or women can't, or you know, that we can get out of a situation if it's not good. I think we should wait and really think about before we jump into it. And then if you are having problems, is it salvageable? Can you get some help? Unless you're getting beaten or, you know, cheated on, of course, get out. But if it's, you know, that's never going to be, people say, oh, my soulmate, they think it's going to be a dream and we're going to get along and we're going to, oh, we both cut our carrots the same way. We both cry at movies. We both love the same, everything the same, and we're going to do everything the same. And it's not really like that. I mean, your soulmate might be somebody that has something to teach you.
Exactly.
Your soulmate may
you
be
may
somebody that you don't get along
them.
That well. I mean, my husband and I, we've had a lot of friction, but we've grown so much. I mean, it's just getting better. We've been together 11 years now, and there was a lot of things that we needed to take a look at in ourselves, and I think we both showed each other that. And it wasn't always fun, you know, but but it's been a fun journey.
Right.
Yeah.
So we were talking about people, you know, not being happy in the relationship and looking elsewhere and stuff. What do you recommend if people are having problems in their relationship and stuff? You know, let's say there is a lot of friction and stuff like you were describing. What should people do? I mean, what is the first thing you do to avoid a divorce?
Well, I found for myself, I remember, you know, I was getting so frustrated. My husband's Latin. He's from Mexico. We go every year. You're talking about Mexico. We're going next month. But so he's like a protector. He wants to always protect me, which I take as don't tell me what to do. You know?
Yeah.
Trying to control me. Don't tell me that. I'm, you know, don't go out tonight because you might get sick and you had a cold. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going out if I want to. How dare you? I'm a grown woman and I got along 39 years without you telling me what to do. You know? And he's like, I'm just trying to protect you. And that was mostly the friction with us. Now, I talked to a spiritual guru, this guy from India. I've talked to two spiritual guys about this, like real high level. You know, I said, what can I do? Because I don't want this arguing. And they said, look, you've got to, well, non-reaction is one thing.
Right.
Because we automatically have to defend ourselves. It's our ego. Like, nah. And then it's like, well, you did this. And how, you know, take a breath. Look at that other person. And you don't have to blame. We always have to be right, right?
Right.
So it's like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Right.
So look at that person and think, well, they're just trying to be happy in their life. They love you. Maybe they are trying to protect you or something. So you got to talk about it. Talk about it calmly and talk about how it makes you feel instead of putting blame on the other person. Mm. Because especially men, the men have this thing where they kind of want to be right and they want to protect.
Yeah.
So when you're laying blame on them, they're going to get defensive.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, well, you did this, say, you know, when you talk to me like that, it really makes me feel, you know, sad, or it kind of hurts me, you know. And then it's like, oh, well, you feel that way. Well, let's talk about it. So you got to take a kind of different approach. I think people are always on the defensive and like, I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
And you'll get nowhere with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So soulmate can be someone who's not like an obvious soulmate, right? I mean, it can be someone who challenges you.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah,
even friends, too. I've had friends that I'm like, oh, my God, I can't. But they're there to teach you something.
Right. Exactly.
Your friends who talk too much or something, maybe I had a friend who talked a lot, and it really got on my nerves. But
I can't. I tune out.
But it was like, that taught me patience. Because I'm a very impatient person.
Oh,
I'm like, cut to the chase. I used to finish people's sentences. It's like, come on.
I can do that all the time.
And then somebody said, oh, my God. Somebody asked me a question, and Marla answered it for me. And I was, like, so embarrassed. I was like, yeah. Because I just calm down.
I'm laughing because I've done that.
And it's the same in relationships. You've got to let that other person be who they are.
Right.
Women think they can change a man.
Right.
You can't and you shouldn't.
And I think some of them look for too much control, you know, like just we were saying. I mean, sometimes it ends up in a good way, you know, the man is dressed nicer and everything. But at the same time, it's like, you know, maybe it's too invasive for the man as well, you know. It's like, yeah, you want to take care of him and everything, but you might, you know, go across the line there.
You know, it's funny. It's like a lot of, every relationship is a learning experience and you learn something from it. But it's like, you know, I always... It's like, oh, I'll just deal with that part. Or I'll just deal with this part. And it's like, finally, I'm in a place where I don't really have to try. It just is.
Right.
And so it just makes more sense of all those years where I was like, you know, forcing something to work in one way or forcing another, and it just doesn't work. And it's like, now it's just, like, I'm finally somewhere where it's like, it's just easy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how it should be. It
right.
should be like a mutual respect for each other. And, you know, it's just kind of easy. You're not, you know, if you have to try too hard, then it's probably
Yeah, that's
not
what
right.
I was going to ask you, Marla. I mean, the thing is this, is it really a good relationship if you have to work hard at it all the time?
Well, that's exhausting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be some effort because when you're with another person and you're living in the same space, you know, when I lived alone, I was in Chicago, I could put it, you know, decorate the place the way I wanted. If I didn't want to wash the dishes, I wait till the morning. If I didn't want to make the bed, I can't do that now. Mm. I can't, my husband's very neat or he's a Virgo. Like,
I was going to ask you.
Like,
science.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that cup is not going to sit in that sink, you know? So,
that's how I am.
So it's compromise and it's like, okay, well, you know, I tell him, I don't like it when you just bundle up the towel and shove it back on the rack without, and then he says, see, honey, I folded the towel the way you like. And I said, well, see, I did that the way you like.
Yeah.
So you've got to compromise.
Right.
And it's about loving yourself. There's so many people out there looking. I see this as a matchmaker. And women, even today, even though we're strong, we've got jobs, they're looking for, I'm looking for a man. This, I'm getting married this year. I need a man. And they're kind of putting their life on hold. Go out there, realize your dreams, get some new hobbies, feel the best you can be, get in your top shape. You're going to feel so great and be happy. You're going to sparkle. Your energy, your vibration's going to be high, and then you'll attract people who want to be around you.
Right, that's true.
I mean,
true.
Who would like to meet a person who's depressed and hates their job and not happy and miserable? Nobody wants to be with somebody like that. So the happier you are with your own life, and then if the right person doesn't come along, you still have a great life. You're happy.
Yeah,
right.
You
can't depend it on somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. So now, you know, so we were talking about, like, you know, people making a laundry list of the things they want. Now, do these things work at all? I mean, because I'm thinking, you know, it's like you go on an online dating site or something, and you list this, and that. I figure even if you find someone with all these things, you may not be able to get along with them.
No.
And that's, so I think it's more natural if you just meet someone first.
Right.
You know, and then if you hit it off, because they may not have half the things you have on your list, but you still get along with
them. I feel like the things on your list are more ego, though, too, in a way, right?
Yeah, I say throw away your list.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some deal breakers. Okay, so if I was looking for a man, I'd look for a non-smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I'd look for someone who loves animals.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I'd look for someone who is health conscious, but these are just more, you know, of course you're gonna have some deal breakers,
right.
But I would not say he has to have a certain eye color or a certain height or a certain career or a certain these things are,
it doesn't
matter. Jobs can be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Just be glad they're healthy and they have, I always say, just be glad they have two eyes and they're going in the right direction. I don't care the color. So these things are not
right.
important. We see there's sites out there for cheating. I mean, there's some sites where you can go on and cheat on your spouse. We see a lot of infidelity, a lot of crazy things going on, Craigslist, and, you know, scary stuff, right? So what's more important? You want somebody who's going to, their character, that they're going to be there for your old age to grow old with, that you can trust, that they're not out screwing around, that they, it's so scary out there. So you got to find a quality, good partner that will treat you well.
Right.
That's what you need to look for.
And
first.
So that's where you come in. I mean, you actually get to know both people, and then, you know, you figure they probably have a good chance of having chemistry there and stuff. How do you do this?
Basically, I have to look at all the superficial stuff first, because they, like, if the men are visual, let's just, you know, say it. That's the way they are. So I know if he's not, I know who he'll find attractive by what he's told me and stuff. So I'm not going to send him a woman, even if she has everything else that he's looking for. If if he's not going to like how she looks, he won't meet her.
Right.
So I have to look at that first. I have to look at the age range. Does she look the way he wants? Maybe religion comes into it. You know, if he's Jewish or Christian, he goes to church or whatever. I have a guy who called me recently, and he's a vegan, and he wants a vegetarian or a vegan, and he was on something called Veggie Date. I didn't even know they had.
I didn't know they had that.
Veggie
you know
Date
that's
online.
Funny.
It's cute.
Funny.
So I'm trying to find trying to find him a vegan. So that's a deal breaker for him, you know, and which is narrows it down.
Right. Now, so are you saying that women are not as concerned about looks?
Not as concerned, because if a guy is funny, if he's powerful in his career, that's very sexy. Goes back to caveman days where the woman needed to be protected,
right
for the family. So we still kind of want a guy who maybe makes more money than we do or is smarter than us, you know, like, or they could be there to kind of guide
us. But they still want the George Clooney's, like you mentioned.
Sometimes the height also goes back to caveman days where we want to be protected, so we want a guy taller than us. A lot of women do. But ladies, don't stick to that, because there are so many great guys that are a little bit shorter. The average American male, the height is 5'9".
Really?
The average American woman's 5'4". So when women say, I'll only date 6 feet and up, you're really limiting yourself.
Yeah, I mean, then she has to really look up to look at him. You know?
I don't want
to,
I don't want to get my neck out of whack, you know. But I have somebody in my life, I won't say who it is, but I've known her for years, and she is 5'10". She had it in her mind she's going to meet a man 6'3 and up only. So she went through her whole 30s with no relationship. She had wanted children and marriage. Now she's 41.
She just wouldn't compromise.
She would not compromise. Wow. And I tried to talk her on all these years. I said, look, just be a little more open. What about 6 feet? No, no, no. Now, after I don't think she'd had a relationship for 15 years.
Wow.
Now she, a friend of hers pushed her. She says, you are going on this a date with this guy. It's a friend of my husband's. You're going on a date. And she did. And she thought, well, he's too short. He's her height. And she wasn't interested. They went on a second date just for the heck of it. And now they're in a relationship. Wow. He treats her like gold.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful person. And I said, you see? Years,
that's what I mean. You can't
be open.
You can't have a list, you know. It's just not going to happen. You know, the way you want it on paper, you know, it doesn't look the same
it's
on
not
paper.
Like buying a car. Yeah. Like I want leather seats and air conditioning.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had a list, but it's not a list like that. It's a list of like, this is what I will not tolerate. This is like
deal breakers.
It's basically like, deal breakers, but it's also like, this is what's happened in past relationships. If anyone shows signs of this, not happening. This, not happening.
Red flags, you know, right?
Exactly. And I have like a list of like red flags. Like I would not tolerate any of that ever again. And then there are a list of things that about like personality traits that I'm like, they must have these traits. I want this in a person.
Okay, what are the traits you want?
Well, I mean, and I have it, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. I want to hear them though. What are the personality traits that you really wanted?
Well, I wanted someone to kind of let me be me because I am everywhere. And I'm tired of being told, calm down, focus, pick one thing. No, I can't.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I like
that
doing
everything.
That would
be her, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I have so many Gemini traits.
Free spirit.
But I don't know why I'm not.
Maybe your Gemini moon or something. Who knows?
Scorpio moon.
Yeah, okay.
But I think I have, anyway. But yeah, I needed someone to let me be me. And that's huge for me because I'm tired of being told, calm down. You like calm yourself down. And like, so I finally have someone who like lets me be me and kind of laughs at it.
Oh, that's
awesome. Well, he's a Gemini. So
right.
It makes he's the same way.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. But also someone who's spiritual and like, cause I'm very into spirituality and into healing work. Medium psychics. I'm tired of people being like, that's crap, blah, blah, blah. Like, just let me do it or just be open to it.
You sound just like me. I think you're my long-lost twin.
You might be.
Yeah, with the DSW
and everything.
You're my soulmate.
You might be. And he is, and I actually met him at a healing seminar. So
wonderful.
So it's just, like, a bunch of different things. And it's, like, I'm tired of people manipulating. Trust was a big thing. Just, you know, if you lie, don't. And I'm very good at telling if you do or not. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, you know, just comments people make in the first couple of dates from the past. It's like I remember my ex. Like, he was like, oh, I'm not really sure if I can, you know, not look at other girls and stay focused. And it was, like, in the first, like, two or three dates. And I'm like, that's weird. And then eventually what comes out, you know, months and months and months down the road, it's exactly what was still happening. And I was getting irritated. He was like, we'd be at dinner with each other, and he's head's turning every second. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? You're kidding me right now. So it was just
I had that with
like,
an ex, too. It was, I'd hit him over the head sometimes, you know, when he's looking. I'm like, one time I drug him over to the girl that he was gawking at, and I introduced them.
See, that's something I would do.
I said, he really thinks you're beautiful.
And
Yeah, that was my ex-husband.
But see, it's like, I'm your attention. I'm right here. If you're going to be diverting elsewhere, then this isn't working. Like, you have something inside yourself you need to figure out. And that was a lot of it, too. And it's like, I wanted whoever the next person I was going to be with to have done a lot of inner work on themselves so that things like that wouldn't happen. They were confident with themselves. And then if you're confident with yourself, you're confident in the relationship. So, and they were open, being able to talk, you know, because that's a huge thing. Like, men bottle up. They don't understand. I don't feel that way. Like, they don't, feelings, like, what is that? You know?
Yeah, but women need the need to express everything.
Right.
You know, we get it out. That's why we live longer too. We don't hold it in. We're not exploding heart attacks and stuff like men are. You know, we get everything out. We talk to our girlfriends. It's about our problems. Yeah. The men hold it in.
Now, the last few minutes, I wanted to ask you. So, someone goes to cupidforhire.com. What can they expect utilizing your services?
Well, I explain everything on there, questions and answers and stuff. And there's contact box.
Right.
What's that? Right. They can contact me.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what can they expect? I mean, do you have like already a list of women and stuff like that.
Yes,
that
okay, I'll just tell you basically what my service is about.
The women too.
Well, my service basically caters to upscale men. It's Los Angeles, so that's kind of how it works. It's Southern California. I've got offices all in, I match people San Diego, Orange County, LA, San Francisco. And the men basically are my paying clients. I have a big database of women that I've built up for, because I've been doing this for so long, 10 years.
Right.
So, and then if I don't have the type of woman they're looking for, I have recruiters and I have other, you know, ways to find women, a myriad of ways. So there's always new women coming into my database. And then I hand match them. It's very boutique. I only have about 20 clients at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can really focus on them and give them personalized attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's my goal is really long-term relationship and marriage for people. It's not a dating service. It's really, you know, for relationships.
Right.
People are serious
That's
about it.
So
they come
great.
To me. And generally the guys tend to be mid-30s up until my oldest client. I just got one who's 73.
Aww.
He's so cute. But generally it's 30s through 50s.
Yeah.
You know.
Please don't tell me the 73-year-old is like, I want out. 30-year-old.
He doesn't.
20-year-old.
He'll date his age. Isn't that refreshing?
So refreshing and amazing.
That's why I'm like loving it. I'm having a ball matching him because there's
so
many women out there who are widows or divorced and they're lonely and they'd love to have a nice man. Mm-hmm. Like they're, you know, so it's like.
So
really
you probably find that most men want younger women and things like that. That's like evolution, right?
99.9% they want. And it's not like they want 20-year-olds. No, they don't.
Right.
But they want younger than themselves.
Right.
And I think, and because again, it's the visual aspect. So let's say a man in his 50s, he's going to find a woman who's 38 more attractive than a woman who's 48, usually.
Right.
And I can say that because I'm in the older age range. It just happens. We age, and of course, you're fresher and younger, and, you know, it's just a lot of men will, well, why not go younger? And she's going to look better for long, you know. It's not fair, but I had a guy say he wouldn't, I had a gorgeous 41-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, she's beautiful. He goes, I'm sure she is, but she won't be for very much longer.
Oh,
but a 34-year-old will be pretty for a lot longer, you know, 10 more years. I know it sounds awful.
You know
what?
No,
but I mean,
this is what I deal
like
with.
Yeah.
People are like this. They're shallow, okay? Humans are shallow at our core. And I'm trying to get them to be more enlightened.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and maybe with men, it's also like sort of like a trophy wife, you know, it's to show off to people, look what I can attain.
I could never be a trophy wife. That's not happening.
But
I
they want the whole package. I mean, they don't just want somebody who, they also want somebody they're going to have fun with and love, but they want them to look good too.
Right, exactly.
Which, I mean, you know.
You know, it's all right, but.
Yeah. But when you both grow old and you're both wrinkly, I mean. I'd rather have someone to have
matter,
fun with.
Huh?
I'm so lucky my husband doesn't care because I could use some more Botox right now. But he says, honey, just leave the cracks. He goes, I love you. I don't care how wrinkled you are. Just leave them. But I think his motivation is really he doesn't want me to spend the money.
You look great, Dom.
Thank
you. Yes.
So tell people again how they can get a hold of you.
www.marlamartinson.com. And it's MarlaMartinson.com. And my email's there and all the info on me and my books. And
Twitter is at Marla Martinson.
Marla Martinson Twitter and Facebook. Marla
and you have written 4 or 5 books, I see, right?
Yeah, for if you're single and you want to attract your soulmate, I talk a lot about the law of attraction and everything. My book, Excuse Me, Your Soulmate is Waiting.
That's
you can get it on Amazon. Then I have a memoir, Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker. The sequel just came out called Hearts on the Line.
Oh, great.
And it's a juicy memoir about my life as a matchmaker.
Nice.
And men and women both enjoy reading it. It's
wow,
a comedy.
Yeah. Hearts on the Line.
Yeah, Hearts on the Line on Amazon.
I like it.
$2.99 on Kindle.
Are you serious?
Wow, that's cool, man. I'm definitely going to get this. Sounds interesting. Well, Marla, thank you so much. You're fascinating. Everybody
absolutely.
Go check it out. And if you're looking for a mate, that's the place to go. So,
and you take people from anywhere if they want, right? Like if a guy is in New York and he's like, could you do that? Or
well, New York, maybe if he comes out here. But
right.
generally, my database of women are
okay.
in Southern California. I have some in Arizona, and that's
okay.
about it. Yeah.
So if someone's willing to relocate, you'll talk to them.
Yeah, or if they travel. I also have an online dating service that I'm getting involved with. It's something new, and it's going to be really exciting, so people can email me for info about that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Perfect.
Well, Marla Martinson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brigetta. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta. which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an L.A. Talk Radio production where we say what we want.